I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of Puckle's Battlecast. As always, I am your host, Seth Vilo, here today with some great guys to talk about the tier shifts. That intro fell apart right in my fingers.
I was going to say, anyway, that was a very encouraging introduction. I was very amped about how you were going to bring me on board with that one.
Right up until some guys who do some stuff. Oh, boy. We have fun here, even if we stumble across our own words. So you've heard their voices. You might know who they are already. We'll go with whose name comes up in my list first. We've got the one, the only, Mr. P. McGee.
Hello, hello. It's been a bit.
It has been a bit. It's been a little bit of a bit.
Indeed.
And we've also got Garchomp himself, Mr. Shark Finnegan.
Hello.
Get it? Because
yep. Yeah.
Landshark.
Yeah, you're that wonderful beer from Margaritaville. That's my personal favorite. So how have you been, P. McGee? Like you said, it's been a minute, and I think you're on the other side of the world now, right?
Basically, I made a cross-country move over the end of 2021, so that has been occupying a lot of my time, which is why I have been a little bit absent as of late. But that's all mm-hmm. situated now. I mean, kind of. I still need to find a house, but the moving across the country portion is at least finished. So now it's just home buying, and I'm sure Seth knows the funds of that. So,
Oh yeah.
I've got that in my horizon, but in the Pokemon sphere, it's just been a lot of draft battles as of late. That's really been my world for the last year or so. Big old tournament going on right now that I'm hoping not to get out in the first round in. And if I make it a few rounds, I might run into Puckle's own Wreck-It Mike, who is also in the event. So I'm really looking forward to that. Hoping to get my chance to play him again. It's always fun when we battle.
Well, very cool. I know that draft has been kind of your signature thing for a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. How many leagues is it now? Like 20 plus?
We've crossed 20 completed leagues. I have like 10 ongoing. I'm always doing something with draft at the moment. So that's just been my little world. And I'm still enjoying it, which I was surprising. Usually I burn out after like a year of that kind of activity with anything I do, but I'm still going strong. So that's a small victory for myself.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't remember if I said it earlier, but welcome to this side of the Mississippi, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a bit. I don't know if I'm excited to be back on this side of the Mississippi.
Oh, well. How about you, Shark? What have you been up to, other than swimming?
I've been mainly the two big Pokemon things I've been doing is some Draft League myself, and then I've been doing some RAN battles. Specifically, I've been doing a lot of Ranbat Blitz. You know, some really fast pace, just kind of quick.
What's the timer for
judgments?
Random Blitz? Like, is it still a 15-second timer, or is it a little longer?
I think it's basically 15-minute turn timer, and then like 30 sec- or not 15 minute, 15 second timer
to say
turn and 30 to start. I believe a little over 30
okay.
to start.
God, that's wild.
So you can get your team there.
But I just make moves ever like within 5 seconds or so. Maybe I'll think about something, but at least it's just good to kind of get my brain working and stuff. And I actually got up. I've been teetering in the top 500 out of the top 500 up in the five. You know, it wasn't too hard to grind up that.
Blitz is very difficult in my experience. It's really hard because you have to focus. You can't be like sidetracked doing two things at once. Sometimes I like to play, you know, some showdown matches while I'm like cooking my dinner or something, or I'm, you know, just kind of watching TV idly. But if you're doing that with Blitz, you're just going to forfeit half your games because you're not even paying attention. It takes like eight seconds of not being aware, and that's just like game over. So Blitz is more intensive than you'd think it is, just like as a format structure, because 15 seconds is not a lot of time. You can't do anything but play the battle. You can't like multitask. So to grind that out, I mean, you can get a lot of games in, obviously, in an hour, but to grind it out, you have to be pretty focused for that hour. So quite impressive if you're teetering in the 500.
Yeah. I mean, I think the 500 is like 1330, give or take. So it's not too hard if anyone ever wanted to grind it, but it's just a lot of fun. Just to like, I'll play like 3 or 4 matches and I'll either win a couple in a row or I'll lose a couple in a row. And
yeah,
just kind of helps me just like make the quick assessments that I need to make. I was like, okay, do I preserve this piece, or all right, do I go for win now? Okay, Dynamax now.
Oh, I forgot Dynamax is still in randoms.
Yeah, it's still a thing. It exists. I mean, I occasionally use it. Sometimes I'll just play through and try to win without it. So
yeah,
a lot of times I end up doing it.
It's kind of a cool flex if you make it through without it.
Mm-hmm. I always feel that way.
All right. Well, very cool. I've been, you know, just doing my same old thing, which is monitoring the being the great observer, the watcher. What was it in that Marvel show? What If? The watcher?
Is it?
I think it was that. I see all, but I cannot, will not interfere.
Yeah,
that's basically.
Yeah, it is the watcher. Yep, you're right.
That's basically what I've been doing. I have actually been playing a little bit over the last month, though, between. Yeah, what I did one night is I would alternate between Showdown and TCG.
Okay.
And when I got really tilted in one, I would switch to the other and just do that through the evening.
I do this constantly with every video game I play. There's the fallback video game for when the first video game is going poorly. So I can very much relate to this, I don't know, this structure, this setup, this your plan here to not get too tilted one thing. You just got to make sure you have an out in another video game. And then when those go poorly, I don't know what you do, but you got to have at least one out.
Yeah. And I don't even use the same Pokemon between my deck and my current team. So
fresh start.
I don't have to see them.
Yeah. They've been relegated. You don't have to look at them anymore.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mew belongs in a card and this one belongs in the video game. It's great. Compartmentalizing, folks. That's a healthy thing to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't hold us back any longer because we have tier updates to go through because it's January. It's been 3 months since the last one, and there are some pretty big impactful changes through the tiers. And as with the regular tier update show that comes out every 3 months with it, we're skipping the topic, and it will just be tier time broken up into two slightly more bite-sized pieces. So we will be right back.
It's tier time.
And we are back with tier time, and the first one up, as always, is good old Ubers. So, McGee, tell me about what's going on there. I'm sure it's riveting.
Oh, yeah. Very, very riveting. So riveting, in fact, they aren't making any considerations at the moment for what should be happening because there's not much to talk about. There's some consideration about Calyrex, I believe that's Shadow Rider, but people aren't too worried about it at the moment. I think everyone's just kind of wanting to take a beat because we are we're weeks away from Pokemon Legends Arceus launching, and we're not quite sure what that's going to mean for what OU and all the relevant tiers like Ubers are going to look like in a few months. It's, you know, we're not quite sure if everything's going to come in through home. And so things like Arceus are going to show back up into the Ubers tiering. And if they show back up in Ubers, then, Calyrex is a little better managed by them. And there's other things to kind of keep it in check as well in the meta right now. So I think with Ubers, there's nothing drastic requiring anyone to take action. And I think we kind of want to see what's going to happen with Pokemon Legends, as well as any stuff from BDSP that might make its way into home and then ultimately into Swish, so that we would see it in the OU and Ubers and such formats. So not a lot. Check in next time.
Well summarized.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe by then we'll get the, what is the flute that Arceus...
Azure Flute.
Maybe we'll get that event unlocked in BDSP, so there's like three ways to get Arceus. I don't
know.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
The options are there. Moving down, though, we've got good old OU, the bread and butter of general Smogon tiering. And for once in a while, we actually had something happen. We mentioned it last month. It had just started. The QREM suspect test has ended and resulted in QREM being banned from OU.
The world rejoiced.
No more original dragon corpse walking around using ice moves and hitting waters super effectively. So
nothing derailed my ladder runs more than sub QREM when I was aggressively laddering. That destroyed me because I had Chansey as a way to check it, you know, the spec set or the scarf set, but Chansey would just lose the seismic toss battle against sub QREM because of the pressure ability. So really happy to see that gone. It was always very oppressive. My team builds never synergized in a way that was anti-QREM, so now I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was the sets like Never Melt Ice and Sub Dragon Dance Roost Icicle Spear on top of the spec set. You really couldn't prepare for it. It was nuts. So it is gone now. No more QREM, and OU is better for it. There is one other ban that occurred that wasn't part of a suspect test or anything like that. It was policy change action, which we'll mention it here, but it then applies to all tiers below it as well. That is a ban on Sandveil, Snowcloak, and Bright Powder. All three of those were ruled exactly.
Less RNG. Shoot.
My gimmicky garbage. No.
My Garchomp in sand with Bright Powder behind a sub. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. That was the main abuser, honestly.
It's like you don't see it too much on ladder, I don't think, but it's usually like on these tournaments, the Smogon tournaments, that always always rears its head that, oh, we gotta ban it because it won this one match in a tournament. So
it made things win that just plain and simple should not have. So oh well. No more. Dugtrio can only run Sand Force. That is its only ability.
Poor guy.
Exactly. Get out of here, you jerk. So a couple things happened after the QREM ban, of course. Scizor has basically dropped off completely because now its main niche is gone. It's still okay, and it's still technically OU for now.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait, is it OU? I think it might be. No.
I don't remember, actually. I'll take a look and see where it's used.
It's still handling something, right?
Come again? I'm sorry?
It still handles things like Weavile, which are still prominent, yeah? And I'm sure there's a couple of other things.
It can't switch into Weavile, though, because that knockoff hurts.
True. I guess it depends if you're a bulk group set or not. But yeah, oh, Lele.
Even without the ability to bullet punch it, it does help to be able to U-turn, knock off, absorb its hits and roost them off. So if when people are, you know, filling the QREM wall breaker slot on their team with Specs Lele, that's probably keeping Scizor where it is for now until people find something better.
Yeah, it's right now just in the 1695 of OU for December. It was at 4.6%, which is just above dropping over into UU.
Yeah, what's it, 4.52?
Okay.
Yeah, 4.52 is the threshold.
4.25. Or 5.2, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's barely clinging to OU status at the moment.
It was at 6.56 in November, so it dropped a whole 2%, which is significant enough to potentially drop it down the next tier shift here.
And that's a third of its usage. Gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well.
3 months from now, it'll be gone back to UU where it belongs.
What's rising from the ashes, though?
what is rising from the ashes, and what but a phoenix would do that? And it's Galarian Moltres emerging as the latest hype heavy offense attacker. And, you know, it's got the agility, nasty plot, hurricane, fiery
wrath.
Thank you. I couldn't get Volcarona out of my head. Fiery wrath. And arguably, at this exact moment in time, it might be the second best dark type in the tier behind Weavile. So if you're having problems with Dragapult and you tend to play more offensive teams, give Galarian Moltres a try. It might be worth it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, has Mandibuzz dropped off, or is Mandibuzz just not what it was?
Oh, Mandibuzz is UU now.
Mandibuzz? I don't
Mandibuzz
even know
is
that
UU. Pokemon. Oh, gosh. It's been a
while. Yeah, it's been
me.
The. Yeah, you. Ooh. I think you've not been on Battlecast since Mandibuzz dropped.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah,
but you
no.
know what? It may rise. That's the thing. Like, without a monster ice type attacker, Mandibuzz, for its utility and roll compression, may end up rising back. There's things like that. Like, Corviknight is a little bit easier to use now because those ice type attacks even hurt Corviknight. I think it too, it KO'd in a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Specs Ice Beam can just kind of obliterate.
Specs Ice Beam are like plus one. Icicle Spears could.
Yeah.
Exactly. Generally, things weak to ice improved, and a lot of the ones that we just said are flying types. So one of the other ones that improved is the only pure flying type that we have, Tornadus Therion. Well, technically we have Tornadus Incarnate as well.
Well,
Tornadus Therion's the good one.
We have Corvus Squire, the disrespect to Corvus Squire.
Oh, yeah! I forgot!
He's a Pokemon, too.
And the other one, Rookidee too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a handful. Oh well. So the good one,
the good one.
Pure flying type, Tornadus Therion was already kind of on the border of being one of the best Pokemon in OU. Now it's pretty much irrefutable that it is, if not top of A+ rank, it might end up eking into S rank alongside its Therion brother. It can do so many things. It can be straight offensive with Nasty Plot. It can Assault Vest now a little bit more freely because it can. It's one of the best checks to Dragapult, oddly enough. It can defog in utility set with like U-turn, knockoff, defog, hurricane, or heat wave. Torn T is very good, and a good regenerator pivot is always a nice thing to have on OU teams.
To be honest, something I'm excited to see, and this isn't quite the battle team or the team of the episode, but something I'm excited to see a little more now that freeze dry spam isn't as problematic, is you might start seeing like Slowbro Torn combos getting back in action because they're not dealing with that freeze dry spam. And if you can deal with electric spam in another way with like a different ground type, but
a ground of any sort.
Yeah. Then you're really in business with like a good regen core again. A lot of momentum to play with there, and you're just kind of smacking damage while you wait for a win con to open up. So I'll be excited to see how some of that team building goes when you're not dealing with a freeze dry spammer the way we've been having one for a while.
Yeah, I think Assault it's Vest definitely torn slow, and slow rising though. Right now. It's definitely jumped up a good amount of usage, I think, from November, December here. So yeah,
that's good.
I think that combo could be back in full force.
Yeah. And what better to pair with it than something else that bounces? The Rotom Wash Tornadus Therion core has come back with a vengeance and is center as a pivot core if you need one. Rotom Wash has seen a lot of use recently because, ironically, it's one of the best counters to Tornadus Therion itself. Stops its hurricane spam, can volt switch out of it slowly.
Is it obliterated by getting knocked off? Because like that's something that hurts Rotom Heat is Rotom Heat doesn't like eating that knockoff, just because it becomes vulnerable to rocks. But something like Rotom Wash, especially if it's running a Pain Split set, really doesn't care about the knockoff because it can just kind of get health back all game. So no surprise to see Rotom Wash on the rise if you're trying to deal with Torn.
Yep, it's a pretty good combo.
Oh,
something else in OU that started taking off though is in tournament play. Anyway, it hasn't really hit the regular streets yet, if you will. Bisharp is back, and I hate it.
I hate when Bisharp sees rise. I don't build well in prep for it, so as soon as I see one in team preview, I'm always uncomfortable because that just is such a misplay away from losing you the game every time because, you know, Swords Dance knockoff or a bad defog or just a bad switch out can get you obliterated by it. So Not excited about that rise at all. I don't want to see it going back up the lead or the usage board.
Nor I. There are a few Pokemon that come close to tilting me as much as the existence of Hawlucha, and I will tell you that Bisharp is pretty darn close.
Is it the Sucker Punch or the knockoff or just the fact that it's just a good, like, the type
everything
is pretty good?
And it's just ugly.
That too.
that's fair.
Like, you could have come up with so many other chess-themed Pokemon, and that's what you picked? Come on.
I mean, it looks like a bishop.
No, it doesn't even look like a
bishop with a sword on it attached to his head.
It's better than a luchador. It's better than
true.
A luchador.
This is true.
Or a hideous pincer flying monster mega thing.
Oh, that's glorious. I like that.
Mega pincer and Hawlucha are cut from the same piece of cloth, and I hate them both.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, you can't stop that argument. A couple other things, though, real quick. The only other big part of OU right now, we're still, you know, recovering from the Q-Rim ban. So naturally, people are just going to start clamoring for the next thing to put on the chopping block because they've been so desperate for some kind of tiering change for so long, they just think they need another thing banned in a perfectly balanced metagame. Was that bias leaking into my speech? I don't think so. There's some muttering of people being annoyed with Dragapult, possibly taking some kind of tiering action on that, but it received, like, zero votes from anybody on the survey. That is qualified players, the entire pool of players alike. There's not really anything on the radar right now in OU outside of now that Q-Rim is fixed and now that Sandvale Snowcloak Brightpower is fixed. That was the only other thing that was on the radar because of that survey.
It strikes me that we're at that phase where I think everyone's just kind of waiting and seeing what's going to happen next. And, you know,
give me Gliscor back.
Yeah, I think that's the hope right now is we're going to see an injection of new Pokemon into the meta just so that we have new toys to play with. I don't think part of why people clamor for bans and all is just because the meta gets stale because it's the same things over and over. We've been in a pretty, for Gen 8 especially, we've been in a really dry spell the last year because we're so used to having new things coming in. We got really spoiled with that this last gen. And so we're in the longest period we've been in since Gen 8 launched without anything new. And so I think people just like to see change-ups and, you know, when nothing else is coming in, the only other alternative is kicking things out and seeing what the meta looks like after that. So no surprise, something like Dragapult's popped back into the mix of consideration. I'm hopeful that things go well with, Pokemon Legends and BDSP and we get to see those in the meta before long, but we'll see.
Exactly. Give me my adaptability Basculegion with water and ghost.
Oh, with Flip Turn
give
and
me
Poltergeist. Oh.
Give me my Rock Head, Head Smash, Flare Blitz, Arcanine, please.
Yes.
That would be nuts.
Give me my normal Ghost Zoroark.
That too. You know, you have a Dragapult problem? Problem solved. It even resists U-turn.
Yeah.
What a great mon. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So that's OU, so let's just hop down to the next tier before our quick break between the halfway point. So, Shark, guide me through the treacherous waters of UU.
Alright, so for tier changes, first of all, we do have a ban on Mien Shao. Mien Shao did finally leave the metagame here, just because it's just, I think with Kamo gone, it was just a good, powerful fighting type, and it's just all its speed, its regenerator, knockoff, U-turn, and good coverage moves just made it a problem. And funny enough, it was already banned previously, I think, in RU. It's just it's slowly getting banned its way up. I guess before long it'll get banned in OU, I guess.
Banned in OU, it's Ubers.
I mean, the rate is going, it's just marching its way up the ladder.
Never would I have expected that not only would it have gotten all the way up to UU in this gen, but it was banned from it. Like, good luck never being used ever, Mien Shao.
Yeah, it's like, isn't it Diggersby that always gets kicked into UUBL and, like, never sees life afterwards?
That's such a UUBL Pokemon, yes.
It just, poor guy. He wants to play Pokemon and he never gets the chance because nobody, nobody wants to waste their time with him in OU and he's too mean into the other tier. So I guess, he's got a buddy now with Man Chao. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, 0.29% usage in OU right now for me.
Wow.
Oh, man. Shedinja's that guy is not
used getting more than it.
What? Oof. Why not? I'm not too surprised. That's wow. Oof.
Yeah, but man, yeah, it's just, it slowly just worked its way up and it's gone, and taking it with it is Regieleki just by usage.
Yeah.
Just ended up just being good off hyper offensive support Pokemon, just to either break things or set screens that it got enough usage in OU at the moment, and there it goes.
Regieleki strikes me as like kind of like sun, like weather adjacent. It's one of those ones that really kind of ebbs, like rises and drops depending on what kind of style of play is on the rise that month. Because we'll always, or we used to always see weather teams kind of bounce around whether they go to OU and OU. Right. Like Torkoal will jump into OU sometimes, then drop down to like NU afterwards.
Pelipper will do what, Arctisult and Ninetales will go up and down.
Oh yeah, that's right. We had Hail come in for a minute there. I forgot about that. So yeah, it's just one of those like cyclical ones.
But it's just not as much.
Not nearly as good.
It gets back to my old statement.
It was no longer a surprise.
Yeah, that just gets back to my old statement. People try to change up the meta when things get stale. So you'll see these wild Pokemon see rise because there's just a little niche for them to be very effective based off what's the, you know, standard in the tier at the moment. So I don't mind seeing things like Regieleki bounce up. I know he's going to drop down again, but it's always fun seeing their name up there for a month and just being like, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, down it goes.
Yep. And one thing that I pointed out off air that might be another cause of it is, you know, we had a suspect test in OU. And when there's a suspect test, people play Hyper Offense to get quick ladder points. And when people play Hyper Offense, they pick Regieleki. So,
because once you kill the Lando or the Garchomp, it wins.
Or just set screen, explode, go to the next thing.
Yep.
That's the other part of it.
Yep.
So what else is going on?
Well, next up on the list for the suspect test, because they need to freshen things up, is Thunderous Therian. Just the community survey kind of has it about 50-50 whether it needed to be a tester or not, but went ahead and go for it. So between now and January 23rd is your chance to go be a part and decide whether Thunderous deserves to be banned or not.
Is Thunderous just normally in OU? Or I don't know if I ever see it in OU normally, or, you know, UUBL. Does it normally get that high?
I don't think so. It's been a minute since Thunderous have kind of been in OU.
It just struck me as something that you wouldn't want it as you're flying when you have things like Lando, Corviknight, or Torn. It doesn't strike me as something you want to be your electric either when you got like things like Coco or any of the Rotom form. So it seems like it gets outclassed.
UUBL in Sun and Moon, it was UUBL Purgatory. And currently, Thunderous.
The biggest thing was Hidden Power.
That's true.
And Thunderous itself is UUBL.
Right.
Therian is potentially heading its way to join its brother.
Is Therian the Voltorb or the Prankster?
Yes. Voltorb. It's the
so the 101 speed?
The snaky one.
Yeah. It's the one that has a stupid 145 base special attack or so.
Right.
With Nasty Plot and a strong move pool, including Psychic, Grass Knot, Focus Blast, and Sludge Wave to just destroy every check.
That's right.
Yeah, that one.
That
gross.
Yeah, no, it just does what it's basically like a better coverage Regieleki without the stupid speed. Doesn't hit as hard probably electric wise, but it just has so much coverage it deals with a lot of its checks, because like a Moongus gets countered by Thundy T.
Yep.
All the ground types that exist get countered with Grass Knot or Focus Blast.
Fortunately, it can only run four moves, and one of them is going to be an electric one.
It's always trapped in the four move slot problem.
Yeah, that's just fair. But I mean, it could just Volt Switch itself out, which is still scary hard. It's scary, scary hard.
But you know, that might be part of the reason why Excadrill was number one usage in UU last month, besides being just good by itself. It might be partially to put a stopper on Thunderous Therian for a bit.
Yeah, that and probably a Lucky, I think, both. We're lurking.
Yeah, because that wasn't there
too,
at the time.
So got that, and then other things that are people are looking to potentially test their way out would be Amoongus, Aegislas, and Excadrill. All of them were kind of small, but those are the ones that people have on their radar. Excadrill, obviously, like, why are you doing in UU?
I'm having the exact same reaction now.
And Amoongus just being the annoying little mushroom it is.
I saw a stellar meme on Reddit in regards to Excadrill. It was a Corviknight. It was that scene from the new Sonic movie trailer. Oh. A Corviknight looking at Excadrill saying, "You'll never be OU again." And Excadrill, Knuckles, catching the ball saying, "Do I look like I need OU?" And it had the usage stats of it in UU on top of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the UU stats right now. Excadrill, Amoongus, Aegislash, and Thundee T. All just yep. back-to-back-to-back, and Conkeldurr and Hydreigon just kind of lurking right behind. They're all, like, 23 to, eight, like, 17, so, like, really close mm-hmm. in that group.
So does Excadrill rise back up with Kyurem gone? Like, I know it's an awkward spot where, like, it, you know, for a steel type, it wasn't switching in on Kyurem well. Does it see new life with some of the change-ups, or have we not had enough data yet to have an idea? I guess I'm curious.
I don't think we've had enough. It's possible. Definitely possible.
It's weird seeing him in this tier just because he's been a staple since, you know, basically Gen 5, is, if I'm not wrong.
He was banned in Gen 5.
Was he? Okay, so he's just been...
He was banned he's been, Ubers. I remember playing back then. He was...
just like Aegislash before him.
The same. Yeah. It was sand plus its stupid 135 attack made it ban-worthy, and yeah. Yeah.
Aegislash, I'm not surprised by. Like, Aegislash has been like a prolonged drop this whole gen because it wasn't facing off against Dragapult well, wasn't doing well against Hydreigon, right. Wasn't doing well when Urshifu was allowed in the meta because it couldn't stop Wicked Blow. And so, like,
its nerfs got, I mean, it's in the nerfs it had this gen were just a little yeah. too much.
So, it's one not surprising seeing that fall. But I guess it's weird seeing Excadrill fall. That's just, it's like when Tyranitar fell off that first time, you know, after like 15 years in OU or whatever the ridiculous number was. Yep. That moment where you're like, wow, I didn't think that could happen. And then you're like looking at it happen. And then there's like a whole campaign to stop it, but it still eventually happened. And so it's weird seeing weather. I mean, that's the cyclical nature of weather. Eventually the teams drop off. And I guess Excadrill wasn't shining enough outside of weather teams to keep it around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And Excadrill just hasn't. I'm just looking at the usage. It does. I think you need a little more time to see if Kyurem gone is going to affect it. It's still lurking about the same mm-hmm. percent, just like low, like 3.5, give or take a percent. Not enough to push it into OU yet. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. Right now, it's enjoying its time, though, being in the spotlight in the UU.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep, and what else is going on? Well, we have Celebi is actually doing fairly well in UU at the moment, paired with Excadrill and Gyarados, or another water type. So that's a good
for you, Celebi.
Now that I think about it,
good for you.
That does a lot against Thundurus as well, now that I kind of give it a little bit of thought.
Sludge Wave.
I mean, Psychics. Sludge Wave is an option, but.
Yeah, again, but yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
that's uncommon. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Well, because, like, again, it's four move slot syndrome, where Sludge Wave is really the hardest one to slot in there because you have to either put in Focus Blast or Grass Knot for the grounds. You have to have one of those two, maybe even Focus Blast for the steals, especially if you're dealing with Excadrill in UU right now. You have to have Focus Blast to be able to KO yeah. that. You're going to carry your electric moves because that's your stab.
And so then Amoongus is the highest usage yep. resist.
So you carry Psychic for that. So, yeah, I can see how Sludge Wave would be neglected as the move, which would really open it up for Celebi to maybe stand in there in front of it a little bit. Unless it's like a U-turn.
Because it resists all that.
Set.
Yeah, U-turn would be a problem. But yeah, Volt Switch. I don't know.
Celebi's been dealing with that problem for 15 years now.
Exactly.
This isn't new for Celebi.
Yeah.
But almost perfect type coverage alongside Excadrill, I think. There's mm-hmm. a couple things that it misses, like fire, of course, but that's what the water type's for.
Exactly, yeah. No, that's a good thing for sure for Celebi.
Oh, it gets Earth Power though, doesn't it? For like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Nasty Plot.
Yeah.
And Recover.
I've always wanted to see Celebi thrive. I feel like it's one of the worst off of the mythicals. I've always felt bad for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Grass will do that to you, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, grass and that typing in today's climate. That other typing. Ugh.
Yeah. And also another thing that's kind of peeking in there is Inuyu is sun, which also Celebi benefits from, but specifically Incineroar, apparently in sun is doing really well, giving it that utility and just stupid hard-hitting flare blitzes.
As long as you avoid the close combats, that's a pretty good Aegis Slash check too, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
So that's UU going on right now.
I like it.
Well, cool. That's the current status. We'll take one quick break, and we will be right back to get the last four, you heard me, four tiers that are left. So we'll be right back.
And now it's time to see the results of this month's Blood, Sweat, and Teary.
And we are back to wrap up the remaining four tiers. So why don't we start it off with RU next down the line. McGee, guide us through the darkness.
You know what? RU has been so much fun lately that no one decided to leave the tier. Everyone was having such a good time that they even invited new friends. So we've had no one depart this tier, but we have gained some new additions to hang out in the fun place that is RU, and our new members of it are a couple of ground types. We've got Rhyperior and Seismitoad. Seismitoad continues to make his journey all over the tiering spectrum. And I think he's been basically everywhere this entire gen, so good on you, Seismitoad. Now he sits in RU. So that's what we've gotten. There are no suspect tests incoming, so we have nothing in that regard happening at the moment. They are back in RU, which is pretty huge, because they're both good stealth rockers. Obviously, that has been one of Seismitoad's bread and butter, viability aspects for a while. It's one of the reasons he sometimes rises above Gastrodon, is because he can be a rocker for the team despite not having access to recover. Seismitoad can also check Volcanion, which is pretty potent in this tier, so that's also very good. And then Bronzong has risen, which is unexpected, but it can check both Nidoqueen and Flygon, and now Rhyperior Nidoqueen's all the way in RU. That's fascinating to me.
Right, isn't it?
God. I get in the Smogon formats that Nidoqueen is going to be superior, and Nidoqueen has been in OU this gen, but to see Nidoqueen all the way down here is also shocking. So that's a weird one for me. Bronzong does well at the moment because Bronzong, with that nice levitate ability and a pretty solid typing, can really handle a lot of ground types that would otherwise prove problematic. And then one of the, one of the more impressive Pokemon right now, Obstagoon's doing well? Okay. Obstagoon is doing well at the moment, because Guts Facade is a stupid attack. And 140 with stab with the 1.5 boost is pretty bonkers. And so, unsurprised. I mean, this is one of the reasons Obstagoon got as high as like low OU. I think it crossed into the threshold at one point just because it's a wall breaker where things like Toxapex and Blissey don't do well if you have enough pivoting to create opportunities for it to click buttons. It's one of those cyclical ones though, so it's obviously decreased in usage a lot. You know, we're talking RU at the moment, but it does well with that. And because it is so good in this tier, Cobalion has found new life, just because it checks its stabs really well, makes it really difficult for Obstagoon to click a dark attack because does not want to give it, what is the ability?
Ooh,
it's not
justified.
Justified. That's does not good. Want to proc justified with the dark attack. And so Cobalion can take advantage of that, which Cobalion needs because its 90 attack stat isn't that great, although close combat always hurts if it's stab. So getting that plus one off of a bad knockoff or something like that is really good for Cobalion. Can manage the facades and then basically forces the Obstagoon to click close combat, which makes it very vulnerable afterwards. Cobalion also has a nice 108 speed, so it really is well positioned to manage some Obstagoon spam, although, you know, obviously long game, it's not going to stop it. Something that is under consideration for potential testing in the future is Necrozma. just because it has a lot of versatility. It has both physical and special sweeping options. You know, got the Dragadance set or like a Meteor Beam agility set. So it's got some ways, and then it's got some bulk too. Or it can just go like a Calm Mind set with Moonlight. You know, it's just a really, really potent mon to deal with. So unsurprisingly, it may get put under consideration in the coming months.
Yeah. Photon Geyser is just stupid.
Yeah, it's like, what's my best attack going to be? Cool, I can always run Photon Geyser. It's free. Togekiss is doing well down here. It's a good manage to Flygon, which Flygon is always a menace because it has just a pretty solid... I mean, 100-100 doesn't seem that good, but, you know, having mobility with U-Turn, having Dragon Dance, having good Earthquake access, Roost, Defog, like, it's got a lot of utility. It's not the biggest breaker in the world, but it can really fit a lot of team molds, so...
It's super versatile. It's got, its special move pool is still pretty good, too. It's got Earth Power, Draco, Boomburst, Flamethrower...
Boomburst is always a fun one, and Specs is viable on it. So, I mean, that's always like a pocket Specs Flygon, which I've seen all the way in OU. It's not like it's never shown up there, and it always catches you by surprise when something weird like that shows up. So, Togekiss kind of exists there to manage that. Obviously, it still has Stone Edge access, so Togekiss isn't a perfect answer. But Scarf Air Slash is just a really good thing, especially when there's less prominent steels to really come in on it or less prominent electrics. It can kind of just spam Air Slash to victory. You know, I know how this Togekiss play works. I've done a lot of it in OU in my day as a way to break through stall.
Yeah,
so
you have, you monster.
I know. You know what? I'm not going to feel bad about breaking through a Toxapex Blissey Clefable core with my Togekiss. They deserve it for bringing that cancer.
I'm offended. It's my feelings.
I'm sorry to offend, but sometimes you do what you got to do, and I will lean into the RNG if it is needing to be done. So Necrozma and Togekiss, based off of their success and viability, have both risen to the S-minus rank. So they're both very good, and that could lead to future considerations with potential bans and such. Sableye is doing solid work down here, especially because there aren't immediate breakers, so Sableye is less than... less than impressive stat line can be sufficient with the pranks to recover. So it can manage Obstacoon well. It manages Necrozma pretty well because Necrozma actually has a pretty tough time dealing with it since it doesn't have Moonblast or anything to really push through. And it can't hit it with Photon Geyser. Metagross, same issue because Prankster Will-O-Wisp. Cobalion, same issue because of Prankster Will-O-Wisp. So it has a good niche down here to check some of these scarier things. But obviously it's not the most ideal option. Raikou, I cannot believe has fallen this far, but it's now in this tier and it's not having a great time, it seems, with Seismitoad and Gastrodon. Gastrodon is one of the biggest counters to Raikou too. Like, it has nothing for a Gastrodon besides clicking Toxic. So yeah.
That's pretty rough. And Seismitoad falling down is just gonna means that you, I mean, you could theoretically run like a sub-toxic Raikou, like if you really didn't like Gastrodon, but at the same time, Seismitoad is gonna be able to break through subs much easier than Gastro could, so.
I'm pretty sure I watched in a draft match once a Palpitoad just wall out and destroy a Raikou because it was a rest Palpitoad, and so it just...
Wow.
Sat there all day. Raikou literally had nothing it could do about that. It was, yeah. I think it was Sleep Talk too, so I still got turns while I was sleeping with Sleep Talk Earthquake.
The disrespect.
It was gross. But yeah, Raikou's not enjoying that type combination, especially when they have water immunity. Raikou just has nothing for it. So
Raikou has great coverage, just not for them.
But not just for not those for two Pokemon specifically.
Specifically, and they're both with it right now, so like Raikou could see Enyu.
Raikou would rather face Swampert than those two.
Yeah, it could burn the Swampert, and then Swampert's actually kind of manageable. Ugh. Yeah, but that's basically what's happening in RU at the moment. Nothing wild. You know, we're seeing a theme here where we're in that calm before the storm, just a couple of things developing. Some things are being eyed for the future, but I think we're kind of letting the next month or two play out, and then we're going to reassess from there.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, with that, we'll move right down along, and it's my turn to talk about Enyu, where there is a massive ripple about which P-McGee just talked about indirectly. So no bans, no unbans. Politoed has arrived because it dropped all the way from RU to ZU. So in
that's because of a rain ban, right?
Next,
or what's the deal with that?
I don't know. I think it's just bad.
I think it's just it's because rain is banned. Rain is banned, and therefore Politoed is bad.
Okay,
is it banned?
It's got to be banned in one of some of these forms. I think that's why Sinus Toad is.
I know Drizzle got banned in UU at one point, didn't it? Because Barrascuda fell down there, and that was a disaster.
Perhaps.
But I don't know if it fell all the way down.
You guys can check me on it.
I don't know. I don't play a lot of these tiers regularly.
I'll look into
that. Yeah.
That's BDSP.
Yeah. that one definitely has rain banned.
Yeah, that one was recent. It was banned in UU.
Oh.
It was banned in UU as 2020, back in May. It looks like that was testing around the same time as they were testing Haxorus at that time.
Okay.
But I don't know if anything
it would extend down to anything
recent
lower
than that.
That seems odd.
Let me look into it.
Because I feel like I saw someone mention something about doing rain. I don't know. But Politoed is down in ZU now from RU, so it was in RU for a while, now it's dropped, so you can always use that, but we'll continue on with the biggest and baddest change to NU that came around. And that was the aforementioned Bronzong moving from NU into RU. Bronzong was the thing that apparently was holding all of NU together with its very existence. And now the demons have been unleashed. Heatproof Bronzong specifically, not Levitate, which I was surprised to learn. But there are so many other things down here that have fire coverage. Heatproof just made so much more sense.
Yeah,
things like Goodra, Exploud, Indeedee, and Sylveon both had fire coverage. Duraludon and Salazzle. It was actually a pretty good Salazzle stop because it could absorb a flamethrower or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Psychic back. And knock it out. And Bronzong actually, not only being a wall, it could be a stealth rock setter, it could also be an end game or mid game type sweeper with body press and iron defense. So
I've seen it.
It's
gross.
It could do a lot. It could do a little bit of everything. And the fact that this wall is now gone just opens the door for things like Specs Exploud, Specs Goodra, Choice Specs Everything.
Hail.
Even these fires. Yeah, Hail. Certain Sylvally forms, like Ground Sylvally. You mentioned Hail with Slush Rush in particular.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are opened up with Bronzong departing, so there may be a slew of suspect tests.
Yeah, I'm looking
bands.
At what's coming in as the new options, and they all have issues, especially, you know, first and foremost of which, they don't handle special fire well at all.
Right.
You know, Copperajah, Escavalier, Dewblade, you know, decent physical walls, but they're not taking any sort of fire attacks or special attacks that well. So, yeah, there's a big hole opened up by the departure of Bronzong.
Yeah. I mean, your next best wall is things like Tokidamaru and those three that you mentioned. Sylvally Steel, even things like Stunfisk Galarian form are being considered as walls. They have the opportunity now, though. I mean, that is a low-key buff for all of those Pokemon, because now there is the opportunity to rise to the occasion and become the great Salazzle Stopper.
Well, I don't know that they are up for the challenge, but
I'd honestly go with that special with the Steel Sylvally. You could definitely push. You could that one has the spread to be a better special defense wall, and it has fangs and probably a ground
and momentum coverage. Defog,
yeah, which against
is nice.
Not fires, yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it
I
has
see
a
that
chance
rising
to
the
stop
occasion.
Salazzle.
Yeah, with
and
rain
it's just too slow, and Salazzle's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because it's outsped by a lot.
Yeah. There's not a lot of speedy steals. I guess Togedemaru is your speediest steal at, like, what, 97 or something like that?
Yeah, and even that just barely beats Sylvally.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
There are a whole lot of losers, though, from this. The biggest one, arguably, is Zatu, because it would just use Bronzong as a free switch-in. It didn't take much from Body Press, Psychic, which were two common moves.
Gyro Ball?
Couldn't set Rocks or Toxic. It's even slow, so it probably didn't take much from Gyro Ball and could just roost it off.
Yeah, I guess it can roost it off.
Oh, no, it is. It does have a 95, I think. You're right.
No, it's actually, it's got a good speed. But maybe
either way, though.
It might just be eating away where it's not getting destroyed, yeah.
But it was pretty much always a free switch in to get in, bounce whatever it tried to set up, and just teleport to your actual thing that you wanted in. So, the other thing that lost out big were ghosts, because they just could stop Bronzong's body press sweep. Decidueye is one that comes to mind off the top of my head that lost big here with this. But with Bronzong Gong,
Bronzong Gong,
in the Beninging. Anyway, dragons are on the rise without the bell, so that leads to weird checks. Things like specially defensive Aggron or Rhydon are coming out of the woodwork to try and be a dragon stop or an X-Plowed stop or Indeedee, Sylveon. You get the idea. Especially Aggron with its augmented resistances thanks to its partial steel typing.
Yeah. But we're going to see like Guja start running Surf more often or something like that, if that's the case.
Right.
So it's a band-aid on what's just going to be a new problem, which is that you just don't have the stop that you used to have for some of these things, and they're going to be a little more potent now.
Yeah, that Guja.
Your teams will have to be a little more cool. Yep. But on top of that, on top of the dragons, the normals are coming out too, because, you know, steel resists normal. And things like Braviary, the aforementioned X-Plowed, Snorlax even, Heliolisk, and Tauros are all things that come to mind as normals that have a whole lot more breathing room to just do what they want to do. And we've mentioned it a few times, but Salazzle is looking to be the next scariest thing in this tier because, weirdly enough, like I said, Bronzong held it back somehow. And, yeah, Salazzle might be bad enough that it might have tiering action taken on it. I think it has before in this tier, or somewhere down here before, just because its speed with its special attack is kind of scary. So, yeah, that pretty much covers NU. Bronzong will be missed, and we'll see if they get it back and can piece the tier together after, hopefully, the home updates come out. But, you know, we'll find out whenever that happens. Until then, we'll just move along to the final regular tier. So, Shark, guide me through the treacherous PU.
Yes. So, first of all, we have a departure. Serena got enough usage to bump it up to NU.
Oh, good so for you, Serena.
Yeah, Serena's such a fun Pokemon. Has good attack, rapid spin, drop kick, all the fun stuff that you can do with it. Such an easy scarfer as well. So it'll be missed here. Arriving, we got some good arrivals coming down. First of all, Politoed dropping all the way to ZU because in PU, Rain is banned. So Rain fell out of favor in NU, and thus Politoed without Rain is not as, nearly as good, so it just falls all the way down to the bottom. As well as Espeon, Glastrier, and Ninjask. The big one being Glastrier, another legendary to fall its way down into this tier. It's got a good offensive stab, but it's slow, and Ice is not the greatest defensive type, so it can get worn down and just not be able to close out. Despite its really stupid stats spread. Espeon may be tested in the future, but right now it's enjoying its time because it's got good attack, good speed, and can really break in this tier. Though
it can kind of two-shot everything, right?
Yeah, it should be able to. Pretty much I would imagine anything in this tier, you should be able to two-shot. Though there's a couple of things that could kind of keep it in check for a little while. Things like Sneasel, being just a little bit faster than it.
I thought they share the same speed tier.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I thought they were 115s.
But I think Espeon is 110.
Espeon is 110.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, EV stats. I'm stupid.
EV stats. Yep,
yep.
Nope,
EV stats.
Sneasel is just a hair faster. Shiftry gets priority Sucker Punch to deal with it. Togedemaru can resist some of its coverage options and also Wish Pass itself out, so...
Wish Pass Togedemaru.
Yeah, no, that's one that's of the very. It doesn't get spikes, but it gets Wish. So
that makes sense.
It's got such a weird move pool.
It really does.
So weird.
It's definitely the most interesting of the Pika clones, if you ask me.
Yeah. But with both Espeon and Glastrier together, though, could be really devastating, especially with, you know, with things like, you know, Stealth Rock being bounced back by Magic Bounce.
Ooh.
And Espeon can also Wish Pass into Glastrier, allowing it to just be able to constantly chunk it. And, you know, it has enough bulk that you could throw an AV on, and I think one of the bigger threats in the format, Charizard, does not 2-hit KO you with. So it has potential there. So
yeah, I've seen the calc. It does like 49% with max special attack Fire Blast from Charizard. Ooh. It's crazy.
And as well, Ninjask being freed from PBO should have a fun time now. Though it's should the tier right now, I think, is well positioned to kind of handle it. Things like obviously Charizard trying to put down a bunch of rocks with. Things like, because you're going to put rocks down for Charizard, for Glastrier, yeah, Ninjask is going to have to wear heavy duty boots to be able to compete. Serena left some big ripples in the format, leaving things like Gigalith actually really good option right now, given those couple big threats I mentioned previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has some good potential there, as well as Togedemaru, just because Serena did pretty well checking that, so now that can reign as one of the better steals in this tier. And one prediction that someone had made is that Jellicent will rise up and be pretty good in this format, which I could see that because it does a good job resisting Charizard. It has Scald and Will-O-Wisp, Strength Sap to be able to kind of check some of the physical threats like Glastrier and Ninjask, and then you can slap Specs and go Shadow Ball as well if you wanted to deal with something like Espeon. So it has some options there for sure.
Good for you, Jelly Boy. Good for you.
Right.
I support all Jellicent viability.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's a nice, good bulky water that can do some good offensive stuff, and apparently a fun little set that's kind of taking off. For fun, is this Kling Klang set, where you can be able to shift gear and just counter basically the big three things in the format right now with Wild Charge, Gear Grind, and
other.
Does it have an attack move?
No, you just run substitute on it.
I've only ever seen those two attacks on it from random battles and like anywhere else. It just
not since Return left.
Yeah, poor guy.
Let's see. Kling Klang. You've got to have a third move, right?
I mean, he probably has, like, Facade or something dumb. Probably maybe Facade. Spark.
The options I see on the set thing are Magnet Rise and Toxic and Substitute. It doesn't get anything.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I'm looking at it still, like, what I usually check.
Rock Smash!
Oof. It's Rock Smash. What's its dark move? It gets a dark assurance.
Assurance
for Espeon. There you go. That's something.
It just gear grinded. Probably does more.
Probably.
Giga Impact. There it is. That's how you play Kling Klang. Shift gear. Giga Impact.
Giga Impact into
this
your,
poor thing.
One ground type.
This poor thing was robbed of any goodness.
Yep.
It's like they made Magneton, but worse. Like that
but
line.
But bad.
Yeah.
But bad.
Yeah.
Because Magneton gets tri-attack.
I want to be electric. If it was electric, maybe.
Yeah.
That, like, no electric stab is the big thing. It's like literally you go down the tier list. You go Magnezone, which has body press and electric stab, electric and steel stabs. Then you go to Magneton, which doesn't have body press and just has electric and steel stabs. And then you have Kling Klang, which is just steel and only has electric and steel moves.
And plus and minus as alternative abilities is just insulting to a thing with 70 base special attack and shift gear and gear grind as signature moves. It's just so stupid.
The year will be like 2040, but they'll figure out a way to save Kling Klang.
Yeah.
That's the thing
I believe.
Needs a buff.
Yeah.
Pokemon to buff. Clang clang. Yeah.
Next episode of the main show.
Yeah. Done. Mailbag. Free mailbag for anyone listening right now. Say buff clang clang.
Shark told me to write this in. Oh boy. Well, that is RU. No, PU. That is PU.
Yes, we're done with PU and.
And we're kind of done with the normal tiers. So, what better to fill this tiny little time gap here with the secret tier that we all care actually about?
For
and
this that month is only.
BDSPOU. Yeah, exactly. For this month and maybe next month.
Maybe.
I doubt Legends will have something Smogani.
No, but what's going to happen is NatDex is just going to or some kind of weird tier is going to launch with it. That's how
yeah,
I see it happening.
That's true.
As soon as
for this month fair. Only, BDSP is the hot side tier.
Yeah, it still is pretty fun, honestly.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things going on, though. I'll take this first big thing. That yep. is, I mentioned it last month in the show, but the Latios suspect test ended. Latios stays in BDSPOU. Really, there's only OU right now, too. UU should be officially beginning sometime soon, and Ubers is kind of just a ban list at the moment. So really, the only tier is OU. But as they promised, Manaphy has begun its suspect test in BDSPOU. It will end on January 24th, so if you would like to get in and make your vote, then that's how long you've got. And it's kind of mixed with Manaphy, honestly. Because people were, I guess, expecting Latios to leave, but it stayed, and that's one of the best Manaphy checks.
Yep.
And Rain is gone, so the only way you can do it, which is a common set, mind you, is Manaphy to run Rain Dance on itself, and then Tail Glow and go ham from there with whatever two moves it picks.
Mm-hmm.
Surf and Hydro Pump, right?
Other.
Just
Surf
needs water.
And Hydro Pump.
Just needs water.
Then Gastron is like, hello.
Yeah, it's probably Energy Ball, to be honest. But Manaphy...
Or Ice Beam.
Something about Tail Glow just makes Manaphy pretty good. I can't quite put my finger on it, but...
Yeah. Something about the word drastically.
Yes. Yes. Three is bigger than two.
That is correct. That is, in fact, correct. Unless we're talking fractions. But... The thing about Manaphy that people are frustrated about is it does, even just by existing, because it's 17th in usage right now, but just by existing, it invalidates a whole lot of team types, or so you would think. It seems to only really have that effect in the middle to low ladder. High ladder, with a little bit of alteration to regular sets you might expect, stall-ish or bulky offense do incredibly well. Things like Blissey, you would not expect to run Calm Mind, but here they do. That, alongside Unaware Clefable, Mantine, even Shedinja are being used, but one of the most lethal stops to Manaphy is Calm Mind Blissey. You get in, you absorb a hit, you Calm Mind and heal, and you outpace it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Blissey actually has a decent enough special attack and has good coverage. That's one of the big things about it. It does, because it's Gen 1, so it's got a good move pool.
Yep.
75 attack's not terrible, especially if you get...
And Stab Tri-Attack is still scary on its own, because you're playing with fire if you're trying to wall out Tri-Attack and hope that you don't get... You know, smacked by paralysis or burn or freeze. Like, it's a scary attack if it has the power to, you know, hit you with. So I'd be scared of a setup Blissey.
Yeah. If I had to take a whack at what the four moves are on it, from what I've remember in, here it is, back in Gen 4, what I would take a whack at is it's just Calm Mind, Soft Boiled, and Bolt Beam.
I could see Bolt Beam just fine and dandy.
I would actually, tying into some of the other stuff we have here, I would actually expect Flamethrower and Thunderbolts
that
to
too.
Be on that. Because
ooh, yeah,
what's the
fair.
Number one usage in the format? That would be Scizor right now, sitting at a whopping 49%.
That's fair.
But
that's
no,
good
wait, is
call.
Is Landorus banned? Not Landorus. Is Garchomp banned?
Nope.
No.
It does walled by Garchomp.
Wait, how is Lando T at 49% of the tier?
No.
Why am I reading what? Oh, Jesus.
It's the Lando. This is the Lando T of BDSP.
I was like, I swear, it was just Gen 4 when I left. What happened?
Landorus was in Gen 4 the whole time.
Just that meme of Landorus Therian just walking in.
That walking Lando meme. But no, yeah, Scizor is the Lando T okay. of BDSPOU.
That makes sense.
Yes, because I think just the fact that all these water types are doing really well, it keeps Heatran in check, and therefore Scizor gets to play.
What does?
I mean, you have so many water types right now, Heatran being the biggest Scizor check just kind of doesn't right. check. Because that's the thing I remember when I was playing...
Yeah.
DP itself was Heatran was very popular and Scizor was very. Not, and the roles have changed.
Yeah, honestly, and I'm curious what caused that, honestly, because I don't know if it's the explosion thing changing around what can counter Heatran. I don't know if it's Gliscor getting poison heal.
It could just be Manaphy popularity makes it really tough for Heatran to not Manaphy be switching fate.
Rotomlosh's part, I'll give Rotomlosh some credit just because back then it was electric ghost, not electric water.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one thing.
Yep. Oh.
But in the use, so that's sitting at, so sitting at number 7 at 22% usage, but you have Starmie at number 12, Azu at number 13, Manaphy at number 17, Crawdon at 21, and Feraligatr sitting, I think, just borderline BDSPOU at 27, or at number 27 here.
Yeah, oh, and Poliwag's down there too. All that.
Slowbro's not, but Slowbro's on
Manaphy
the edge.
Manaphy eats Slowbro, oddly enough.
Yeah, there's just a lot of waters that, and plus Garchomp is still good, that keeps Heatran. Heatran just does not have a chance to thrive.
Yeah, very fair. Yeah, the Garchomp effect, too. I hadn't considered
Garchomp
that.
Garchomp and Gliscor.
Yep. Gliscor, even now, is one of the better Heatran counters. Because Heatran, other than a random Will-O-Wisp or Lava Plume burn, can do nothing to Gliscor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Other than that, though, the one quick mention that I want to throw out there is that the evasion ban that we talked about with OU also happened here. The one difference is that they also threw in Lepaberry on top of it.
Oh,
so
that's surprising. Like, was that already starting to be a problem? Like the, you know, the was it the endless claws type thing, or why is Lepaberry
possible? Full disclosure, I didn't really look into why Lepaberry was thrown in there. Yeah. But
you know what? My favorite draft battle of all time was with a Lepaberry. God, that was a fun match.
Yeah, I actually just saw this, like, I was looking through some of the Smogon stuff. Lepaberry got freed from Natdex, so I was just curious, like, why Lepo got banned here, but unbanned differently.
I could see it being, like, one of those things that shows up in high ladder play is just, like, a really counter meta team, like, anti-meta team, and just kind of makes a person suffer for hundreds of matches, or hundreds of turns in a match.
It may also be a rework of the Endless Battle Clause to better define what causes the Endless Battle outside of Lepaberry. That might be what it is, too. But maybe those conditions don't exist in BDSP. I'm spitballing here, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that wraps that up. We should have official BDSP UU starting up soon. By what I could find, it's not officially begun yet, which makes sense because they would want, you know, at least a full month or so to create the tier officially of usage stats, and they just got those a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So
and I think Salamence was starting a quick band out of BDSPO UU.
That's
the one
that
big
is correct
note of that.
Yep. And outside that, though, we will go ahead and wrap up tier time / the topic and come back to you with the team of the episode. So we will be right back.
Bum bum.
And now it's time for team of the episode.
And we are back with the team of the episode, and we decided that we wanted to have something that featured the Rotom Wash and Tornadus Therian OU core. This is OU, regular OU, not BDSP OU, because you can't have Tornadus Therian in BDSP OU. So, with that core in mind, we found a team in my teams. So this is one that I've built myself.
You certainly would have guessed by when we get to the end of this. You would know without a doubt this was a Seth theme. So
it does have my signature Chef Kiss on it. And I've already got the preparations in place. I've already got the other team built for when BDSP changes come out. I'm optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets even worse. But
gross.
Without further ado, P. McGee, start us off.
Yeah. So leading off the team is one of those aforementioned two. We've got the Rotom Wash holding the leftovers, nicknamed Whirlpool, because obviously that's his a move he can use. Why would you name a Pokemon a move they can't use?
I don't know. See, it's a brand of washer. It's a brand of washer.
He's rocking a bold nature. He's got Volt Switch, Hydro Pump, Pain Split, and Will-O-Wisp. And then the EVs, because I forgot to mention them, so we're going to mention them now, are 252 HP, 168 defense, and 88 speed. That 88 speed allows it to creep past Crawdaunt, who can be pretty scary with those knockoffs otherwise, so it's important we outspeed that. Next up is our good friend Mr. Margaritaville, the Garchomp, with some leftovers, a Rough Skin ability because they banned his other one.
Everything else is banned.
It's all banned, so this is all that's left. He's got 252 HP, 136 defense, and then 120 speed. That 120 speed with the jolly nature ensures that the Heatran is not going to be a problem, and you're going to outspeed that. He's got a Stealth Rock, Earthquake, Toxic, and Flamethrower. Basically, he wants to set his rocks, spam his buttons, or if he can't do either of those things, just go ahead and poison you. So that's what Garchomp's here to do.
Yep. That brings us to two more, my two, that we've got. And we've got Ferrothorn holding leftovers. I'll let you discover its nickname yourself, dear listener.
Oh.
And, of course, the ability is Iron Barbs. The EVs are as follows. And they're weird. Bear with me. 252 HP, 128 defense, and 128 special defense with a careful nature. So the cool thing about that exact spread on Ferrothorn is the HP puts it at a leftovers number. Always max your HPs on Ferrothorn. Don't do that 248 nonsense because that hits a lefties number. 128 in both defenses allows you to hit a bonus point in the defense stat that your nature augments. So I have a careful nature because I'm afraid of Tapu Koko. And that careful nature and the 128 special defense brings me to a bonus point number for getting an extra special defense point out. Ooh. If I want to switch to Impish, the same thing happens with the 128 and Impish. Ferrothorn's just got a neat little spread like that. I think the other number that does that is 88 and 168. So you can allocate those stats as you will, but I want a mixed defenses Ferrothorn. The moveset, though, is as follows. Spikes, Leech Seed, Body Press, and Power Whip. No knockoff on this one. I want both offensive options, and I need to handle Tapu Koko with the Ferrothorn alone, so I can't just rely on Body Press for that.
Makes
the
sense.
Next Pokemon on the list is good old one of my favorites. You know those favorite of each type charts that you make?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Four of the six of this team are on that chart.
Let's see. Are they Water, Rotom Wash, Dragon, Garchomp, Steel, Ferrothorn,
and Fairy Clefable. It has to be on here.
Fairy Clefable, obviously. The others I'll get to at the end. You can keep guessing from there.
They're at the end.
So anyway, the Clefable is kind of just a standard utility Clefable. I haven't quite decided what to do with this one yet. I could run Calm Mind or some other weird sets that I want to, but this is how it is for now. It's got leftovers with the ability of Magic Guard. It is shiny, let it be known. EVs are as follows. 252 HP, 200 defense, 56 special defense with a Calm Nature. That's just standard utility Clefable spread right now. Gives you enough to, I think, survive a 2-hit KO from Dragapult, and the rest go into defense to kill Haluchas. And moveset is Moonblast, Soft Boiled, Wish, and Knockoff.
I love double heal type sets.
I do too.
So gross.
Especially with the team with Garchomp and Ferrothorn on it that don't have recovery of their own. Wish is incredible for healing those guys off. And Rotom, kind of, because Pain Split is good, but not always completely reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Shark, take us home with the most unsurprising alternate member of the core that we said was in this team.
Oh, right. We did mention that there was a flying type, and that would be Tornadus Therian. Holding the heavy-duty boots with Regenerator, of course. Max HP, max speed, timid with the extra dumped in defense. So it's just fast and being able to keep getting all that health back thanks to its max HP. You've got Hurricane, U-Turn, Defog, Knockoff. So just a good old standard, just clear the hazards away so that Ferrothorn and Garchomp don't get whittled. U-turn for momentum. Oh. Knockoff to get rid of the pesky items like boots. And Hurricane to actually do some damage.
And this one's nickname is Dutchman because it's
flying. Dutchman.
It's flying.
Yeah.
Ooh. And clever.
Last but not least, there needs to be some sort of offensive win con to this team.
I always carry one.
There always has to be one way that you can just set up and sweep. I mean, Garchomp and Tornadus can do some chunks, but that's still not enough to really put the pressure on. And for this team,
so of course this is going to be a very hyper offensive win con, right? With max investment into special attack and speed, right? Right, Shark.
You know me so well.
this is the win con of this team is Seraph the Volcarona holding heavy duty boots. With the ability Flame Body, EVs, 248 HP, 156 defense, 16 special attack, and 88 speed. And the timid.
Whoa! Try not to get too aggressive with that special attack stat.
Hey! It hits an exact number that I need it to hit. Calm down.
So this is a bulkier win con, but it still hits the right where it needs to hit. Quiver Dance to set up, Flamethrower to burn through your opponent's team, Psychic to deal with Toxapex, and Roost. Because it's Seth's team. It needs Roost.
Yep. I need it.
You could have run Bug Buzz.
No.
No, you run Roost.
No.
I need it.
I need my health back.
Could have run Giga.
So the EVs... The EVs for that one, at plus one, it lets you outrun Zeraora and Dragapult.
Which is good.
And the 16 special attack allow you to exactly knock out a Rillaboom from full HP with Flamethrower.
Ooh.
Because it's likely it will have full HP because of grassy terrain.
Yep.
True.
If it's cleared the hazards and everything, even if it has a little bit of leftovers recovery, I want to make sure that I can always knock out that Rillaboom.
Not bulky Rillabooms, just regular Rillabooms with Mac.
Who runs a bulky Rillaboom? Not me.
You would absolutely.
Oh, and a Seraph is a type of six-winged angel.
Which
this thing is on this team because it's the only thing that's really going to put offensive pressure. Everything else is just going to.
However. The number of battles I've won without Volcarona ever touching the field bring me great joy.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this. You've got spikes, you've got rocks, you've got leech seed, you've got toxic, you've got pain split, you've got momentum, you've got wish plus soft boiled. Like everything can heal or get regenerator or just get wish passed. Also, four of your six have leftovers, and then the two that don't have leftovers just have boots so they don't take unnecessary chip. So,
yep,
this team isn't going down easily.
Nope,
it's really not. It's got the sustainability, and it's just gonna wear you down. And preferably, wants to win with just like, okay, Rotom, Volt Switch, knock something out, go into Clefable, get the leftover health it needs. Or maybe yep. Garchomp just earthquaking just to kill everything that needs to die.
Ah, you're speaking my language.
I see, that's how this team intends to run. But you have Volcarona in case you're facing, you know, another Seth.
Yep, exactly. And I've got like three things to cripple Heatran, be that the Garchomp, the knockoff on Clefable, the body press on Ferrothorn. I'm getting that Heatran out of the way, one way or another.
Mm. Yeah.
So, to give you guys a glimpse into how I work, Rotom is my favorite electric.
Yep.
Ferrothorn is my favorite steel.
Yeah, see that.
Okay.
Clefable is, of course, my favorite fairy.
Yep.
And Volcarona is my favorite fire.
I see. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that all makes sense to me.
I thought it'd be like Heatran or something.
The changes have swapped out Garchomp. Nah, I like Volcarona. I don't know why.
I respect it.
But the BDSP change swaps out Garchomp for Dragapult, which is my favorite dragon, and the Tornadus for Gliscor, which is my favorite flying.
Is it also your favorite ground?
No, that's Zygarde. I have to be very careful with my chart because there are some things that have to be on there.
Yeah. No, let's all respectable right there. That's a solid list.
Yep. And so that's the team. Enjoy playing semi-stall with Seth Vilo's garbage team, and you can find out the nickname for Ferrothorn on your own time. Oh, Clefables is Aria, because that's what its original name was going to be in the red and blue beta. Fun little reference there. But with that wraps up the 47th episode of the Battlecast. It's been a great one, and hopefully by this time next month, we might be talking about the effects that Home and, by extension, BDSP and Legends Arceus have on the Sword and Shield metagame. I'm personally looking forward to it so I can fix this team and make it into its perfect cell form. But we'll see what happens. It's been great. If you like what you hear, you can listen to more Puckly goodness in our other channels. We've got This in Puckle Plus. You're listening to Battlecast right now. We've also got the TCG cast, which, fun fact, I will be appearing on the next one for that. Ooh. That's going to be if I'm correct, one of our set review episodes where I can gush about how all the new cards are actually old cards that they just have different faces to.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing that pop off in TCG. What's the set called?
The next set is Brilliant Stars.
That's right, with the V-Star mechanic.
In the West. Yep, exactly. I'm very excited for all of those cards. So you can listen to me as well as Basket the host there on the next Thursday that things come out. There's also the Game Corner show that comes out on this feed, as well as all the trivia rewinds that come out. If I could speak, my brain is gone. But if you like regular Puckle, that comes out on a different feed, the Puckle feed. Those shows come out every Monday, and they talk everything Pokemon, from, you know, video game, trading card game, whatever is relevant right now, to even Serial or Pokemon 2BM Master, the board game. Other than that, you can support the show in a couple different ways. There is the Patreon if you'd like to support us directly. It helps us keep the community thriving and make sure that we have microphones that make us sound like not garbage. You can buy some merch from the Puckle store. Right now it's a little bit lacking, but we're working on transitioning our products to the new store. So there's a new link down below for you to click on. And just keep listening. Join us on Discord. That's where all the magic happens. That's where you can hang out with us on a regular basis, can participate in our tournaments and giveaways.
Including a new Discord tournament that is getting signups right now.
That's right. Well, I should have mentioned that. That's the UUTC, correct?
Yep.
Well, very
it
good.
Is I'm not speaking of singles.
Speaking of UUTC, you have the last two champs on this podcast today.
Oh, true.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I won the first swish. Don't I? Pimigi won the second one.
Well, cool. That's so kind of
come dethrone us.
Fortuitous.
Take away the title.
Come
play BDSP.
Not with this team, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's illegal.
Yeah. That's illegal.
Yeah,
there are three things that are not even alive in that time. But anyway, it's been great. Thank you guys for coming on.
Don't forget to follow
it's
the
always
YouTube
great
and
having
Twitch.
You. Thank you. Yes, I always forget something. YouTube and Twitch, that's where a lot of the stuff's happening that you can see live. Thatch is actually streaming right now as we record this.
He's doing his Emerald Nuzlocke, I think, every Tuesday right now is for sure when he's streaming, and he's going to try to snag an extra time every week as well to stream something else, including his latest pet project is the this TCG cube that he's been working on. So there should be something fun related to that coming up in the next couple days, weeks or so. We'll see what unfolds there.
Yep. Well, I think with that, we've hit all the high notes, unless I missed another thing.
Like just the YouTube.
Hearing nothing.
YouTube, there's YouTube Soul Silver Nuzlocke going on right now.
Mm-hmm. So tune into that kind of stuff and watch our Twitter to see what's happening when. Other than that, though, I have been Seth Vila.
I have been P. McGee.
And I've been Shark Finnegan.
And we'll catch you guys next month.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.